would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, all right, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small dawn is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. We are recorded live. We're Monday, 9 to 10 every week on local FM 107.3. Or if this is coming in fuzzy, you can listen to it on the internet, localfm.ca. And special announcement for the online version of the show. I've been threatening this for months, and it's finally come to pass. The Podbean podcast page is not h2thec.podbean.com anymore. It's johnforward.podbean.com. It's yet to be seen whether that screws up the downloads or not. But anyway, if the podcast doesn't work and you're not hearing this right now, that would be why. So just came back from yoga. I'm still wearing my yoga pants. I was trying to think about some sort of lofty topic to talk about tonight, so I couldn't think of any awkward metaphors for comedy that I could ramble about for 10 minutes, so I'm just going to talk about an upcoming project that I have. I think I mentioned it briefly last week, but I'm allowed to say now that I got accepted into the Fundy Fringe Festival that's going on in St. John this summer. It starts on Tuesday, August 22nd. It's a kind of a thing. There's usually five different venues and five shows, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll spread out. Each of the people will be doing five shows, so I'll be doing five shows the Wednesday through Sunday. I don't know what the venue is, but other stuff, there's lots of like plays, and like the improv people are doing something. There might be some comedy, there might be some drama, I don't know. I've done this before. Last year I went on the Hoveland Comes Alive, the musical / comedy show last year, and that was fun with the Hoveland guys. The year before that, I put on a No Jokes Barred comedy show, and I had the Hoveland guys with that, and Trevor Muxworthy from Fredericton. I'm doing something different this year, though. I'm, instead of doing stand-up, I'm going to try my hand at a one-man show. I'm not completely sure what the difference is going to be between that and what I usually do anyway. I'm going to be using like similar material to what I do on a comedy stage, but I'm just going to focus it and try to tie it together. I'm going to do more of like my personal stories, and I'm just interested to see how it plays out in a different context. Outside of doing a comedy show, I don't know. I think I'll have more freedom to just tell a story and hopefully be interesting, and I don't need to worry about having a punchline every 10 seconds, which sometimes I do that anyway. I've been accused of that. I'll just go up and ramble for 10, 15 minutes about nothing, and there's no jokes in there, but that's how I do. But the more I practice it at a comedy show, the more punchlines and jokes you have to kind of insert in there. So there are going to be jokes in this, but I feel like the main focus would be just on telling my stories, I guess, instead of getting those a certain number of laughs per minute, because I just want to I think I can keep people engaged even if I'm telling a story on one of my shows and it's not very joke heavy. People are generally still paying attention, and so they're interested, and it's just they don't make an involuntary sound with their body, so you can't really tell, but they're not talking, so they're usually paying attention. I've got a rough set list down. I still need to kind of put the finishing touches on. I've got all the bits that it comes from all copied and pasted into one big document. But this weekend, I think my wife is going to be away, so I'm going to sit down and kind of rewrite it and do a cohesive hour of some sort. And I'm just curious to see how that turns out. I'll be able to move pieces around from the different bits, write some new stuff. Maybe put some stuff back in that's a part of the story that wasn't necessarily the most hilarious part of it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the new challenge just to do something different. But I don't want it to be too self-indulgent. It's got to be a little bit self-indulgent, but hopefully not too much. I've seen some other good one-man shows on the Fringe Festival in the past. I really liked Al LaFrance's show, The Quitter, a couple of years ago, and Gerard Harris did one called Attention to Detail, or I don't remember. I'm sorry. I forget what it was called. And Neil Bonner had one last year that we went to, and those were all very funny shows, and those guys generally don't do stand-up, so I'm curious to see how the two worlds can kind of combine. Like, Gerard Harris does do the occasional stand-up, but he doesn't really do the same thing when he's doing stand-up as he does when he's doing, like, his storytelling Fringe shows. I asked him about it once. Like, when he does stand-up, he just tells more straight set-up punchline jokes, and because I asked him how the storytelling goes off when he does that at a comedy show, and he said, of course I don't do that at a comedy show. I'm not crazy. I tell jokes, so I guess I am crazy, because that's what I do. And I don't think the one-man show is going to be too different, but it's still coming together, and I want it to be what it is. I don't know. I think coming from stand-up and turning it into a one-man show rather than the other way around, I think I might have a bit of an advantage there. Because some of those other shows, as much as I like them, there was the occasional, I'm watching it with the ears of somebody who sees a lot of comedy shows, and there was some okay jokes that got huge roars of laughter from the audience. So I think the context plays a big role in that. So I think if I've got a version of something that's funny enough to work into a comedy club, I think it should probably destroy, like, a stuffy one-man show audience, because, I don't know, I'm a pretty good comedian, I think. Some people would say otherwise, but I might just be an amazing spoken word artist. I guess we'll find out. But I'm looking forward to it. People give me good feedback for this radio show, and not necessarily because this is a hilarious laugh riot or anything, but apparently I'm a compelling speaker, according to some people, and people like to listen to me. So I'm going to work hard in putting that show together. I went to a workshop last month about how to market a Fringe Festival. This is kind of new territory for me. I'm going to have to get, like, a professional picture taken and make... I'll probably not use my cheapo postermywall.com free website to make a poster. I'll probably hire somebody to actually do one, and they said I should hire somebody to do my makeup to take a good picture. I don't know, maybe I'll hang out outside Yuck Yucks and hand out some flyers again. But I need to come up with a 4-minute intro. There's on the Tuesday night before everything kicks off, every show that wants to participate does a little four-minute little preview of the show, so I need to figure out what that's going to be. The Fringe Festival people are usually hanging out at the Queen Square Market, so I'll probably hang out there, and I've got some money on the line, and it would be nice to make it back. The amount of money that I had to pay to be a part of this is significant, but it goes towards booking a venue for 5 nights in a row, and it pays for all the tech people and the people selling tickets out front. So it's worth it. And I think I can make back what I did doing over 5 nights. It shouldn't be too bad, but it'll be a good experience for me either way, and it'll be a different audience, and listeners of this show, you should come see it. And Anyway, that's so that's coming up August 22nd is the Tuesday, and then it runs till that that Sunday. So there's going to be a bunch of stuff going on. I think it's generally $10 a show, or if you buy a punch card for several, it works out to like $7. But that's months away, and it's lots of work. Before we play the first song, I just want to introduce my guest, Glenn Jardine. He's the owner of the R Bar, where the No Jokes Bard shows. Hello, Glenn.
Hello.
Yeah, so we'll be you run the R Bar and the Peel Pub, Wild Carrot. What other businesses are on your empire?
Three's enough.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we're coming up on 3 years doing No Jokes Bard shows at the R Bar, and we're gonna talk to Glenn a little bit after the break. But for now, we're gonna hear some Timber Tambor with Grifting, and then we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio.
Thank you.
wanted to work. You didn't bring your child, gifted at birth.
And we're back. That was just Timber Tambor on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with Glenn Jardine. I wasn't really sure what we were going to talk about tonight. So we'll just roll with it. I guess the place to start. I've been doing No Jokes Barred at your place at the R Bar for, it'll be 3 years in June. Do you remember that first meeting where I met up with you and proposed this idea?
Yes.
You want to give me what's your recollection of that?
Well, you came in and I know you, obviously you went to school with my son.
Yeah.
So I knew exactly who you were. And I've always been involved in comedy. I've had comedy festivals, I booked comics for many years. So I have a love for comedy. So when you came in with that with the idea, I figured let's do it and try it out. And obviously, it's been successful. You've been there almost 3 years, I guess you said, in June.
Yeah. So, what were you expecting it to be, and like how? What's like? Is it more successful or less, or than what you thought it was going to be based on when we first started out?
Well, it was for me it wasn't much of a gamble. A gamble for you, of course, Jonathan. But for me, the time that you were suggesting you take is a time that the club doesn't start getting busy till later at night. So, to me, it was an add-on, and I said, let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah,
and I've been happy with it, quite frank with you.
Yeah, it goes up and down, but we get a pretty consistent audience. The last one was a packed house, I think, and it depends on the month, but I don't know. People, I'm pretty happy with it. What have you heard about the show from like other people? Like, are your regular customers or the bartenders or just out and about town? Do you get a lot of people saying that they saw one and talking about it?
Oh yeah, I get I would say 99. You know, very positive, very positive. I mean, there's some, obviously they're amateurs and sometimes they're nervous and they're getting up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people have to realize to get up in front of people and do anything is scary. To get up and try to tell jokes, to get people to laugh, is even scarier. So I applaud them for getting up and trying. And I go there many nights, and some nights obviously are funnier than other nights. I mean,
yeah.
But on the whole, I've been kind of surprised at the talent, to be honest with you. I've been obviously the last, I think, four shows you did, it's been full.
Yeah.
I guess, standing room only. So. When you have any venue and you have standing room only, that's a positive sign. Obviously, people are reacting to it in a good way. And I think people appreciate, as a rule, except for the ones that get there early in the day.
Yeah.
But as a rule, people coming in to see the show, I think they appreciate that the hard work and what the people are trying to accomplish. Personally, I think it's not something I could do, for sure. So, I mean, it takes people of a certain, you know, guts to get up there.
Yeah, well, and it's good for the comedians too. Like when I started doing that show, there wasn't really anybody in St. John doing comedy much. James Mullinger had arrived in town around the same time, but that hadn't really built up yet. But just having that regular show at the R Bar has been really good, and we've got a lot of brand new comedians that are coming through there that might not have gotten started otherwise, because like I said, there just wasn't anywhere to do it. When there are the bigger shows going on, it's not really something that you can just show up and say, hey, can I go on there for my first time at your $20 comedy show? It's not really gonna happen. So the R Bar has been good for that, and we've got more, I think we have a stronger community of comedians in St. John than we do in Fredericton or Moncton now. And which I guess isn't saying much, but I think we're the strongest scene in New Brunswick. I think Halifax has been going for much longer, and there's more people that live there. But I think we're for the amount of time that we're going, I think we're giving Halifax a run for its money. We've got our own Yuck Yucks Club here, and that will probably grow things here. But I remember, I think probably in that first meeting, I think I made a point of saying that I wanted to make sure that it was going to be like people say whatever they want, because the show is called No Jokes Barred. And I thought that was going to be more of a fight with you, but right away you were like, "Yeah, obviously these people are adults. It's a bar." It's
well, I think I'd realize, Jonathan, I'm the gentleman brought in the Trailer Park Boys to St. John three times.
Yeah,
so I'm used to that kind of language. So
I kind of started the show. I don't know if I was getting into that when we talked, but it was kind of a spite thing a little bit, because I'd done other shows like over the guy that runs Chuckles now, Shane Ogden. He'd put on a couple of shows here and there over at the Somerset in the North End, and I still remember him just telling me, like, "Everybody take it easy, we don't want to scare these people off and come back," and I was like, "Screw you." So yeah, I wanted to have a show where it was up to the comedian whether or not they say what they're going to do, and if it ends up being the wrong thing, then nobody will laugh at it and they'll know. I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to be 19 to come into the place.
Yeah.
So you're an adult. So, I mean, if you to my way of thinking, if somebody gets offended, they don't have to stay. And I guess that's, you have the choice whether to stay and listen to jokes or not to listen.
Yeah, and that's surprisingly reasonable for a St. John business owner to say, because there's been a long history. I remember when I was younger going to, when there was a lot more music and rock shows going on. I remember over, I think it's where the Barcade is now, they used to have Darcy Farrow's in there. And that place was notorious because the owner, the lady that ran it, I don't remember her name, but she had this policy where bands were not allowed to say any swear words, or like there was going to be hell to pay.
I can't believe you mentioned her, because I can tell you a very quick story about her. And sure, when it's Darcy Farrell's, I had a comedy festival and I brought in comics, some were from Yuk Yuks. Mm-hmm. This particular individual was from Yuk Yuks in Montreal. I booked him through Yuk Yuks in Toronto. I flew him in from Montreal. We did a show there. It was full capacity. And he started talking jokes about his dead parents, and she came over to me and asked me to stop the show, take him off the stage, and for me to leave with him. That's my recollection. No recollection. That's what happened. So I can see what you're saying, because it happened to me with.
Did you stop the show?
I did not stop the show, and I tried to explain it. Actually, she owned it, and her son helped her run it. Mm-hmm. And I explained to her, obviously, it's a joke. He loves his parents. It's an act. It's part of his act. And people, and quite frankly, people were laughing their heads off. I said, so it's a comic doing comedy. I said, you want me to go up there and yank him off the stage? And she said, yes, I'm deeply offended. And I want the show to stop, and she actually wanted me to leave too with him. She wanted me to take the comic out, and I said, well, that's not going to happen. And I said, he's only got another 15 minutes. And so after the show, she went over to him, was very aggressive to him, talking to him, and we went out in the street. I said, well, that's a new one for me, but I mean, now you just tell me what the band's swearing, so there you go. So she's obviously offended by swearing, and apparently jokes about dead parents. So
I've got a few of those myself. I don't understand where that's a weird line to draw. Like, this is a place where people come to get drunk and find somebody to sleep with, like,
pretty well.
Yeah, let's not have any swear words. It's just really weird. And it just doesn't, I don't know, I'm not a business person, but it seems like that's a weird stance to take, unless you've got like a ton of customers that are leaving your place because of all the horrifying offensive language. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I've had maybe one complaint in 3 years, maybe one, and I think that was about, in fact, it was so insignificant I didn't pay much attention to the complaint, to be honest with you, but it was about something swearing or something in the show, somebody's, one of the acts, and that was over 3 years, and you do you do about 8 comics a night, seven, eight a night, so
yeah,
I think that's pretty good odds.
And there was a few, and even a polite complaint afterwards is fine, but I don't know. I think it's just really like the impulse to, like, in the middle of the show, like, this needs to stop right now. That's kind of selfish, I think, and it's
that was strange.
Completely oblivious to all the people around them that are having a good time. Like, that's, it probably never went so far that you got the complaints, but there's probably more than one person that was offended at one of my shows over the last 3 years.
100%. It doesn't get to me, but I mean, I wouldn't listen anyway. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I would listen, but I mean, like I said, you have to be 19 to come in. You're adults, and if something offends you that bad, then that's not the place to be, I guess. In one way, I mean, you have legs. You can stay. You can go. I mean,
And you've got. I usually, if somebody's not having a good time, I try to funnel them down the street to the Peel Pub. So you're not losing any money. You just have them walk a block down the street and go somewhere else where they're having a better time.
Well, we've had some situations there, as you know. I mean, we've had. And most of the situations negatively have been people that I know of or people I'm associated with, which I think at that point, I think people, when they know, they take some liberty, you know, they think, well, I know the owner, so I can do this and do that, and, you know, some things you can't do. I mean, I appreciate that these people getting up somewhere for the first time.
Yeah.
Or a few times, actually. I met one girl at your show the first night she ever did it, and she said she almost passed out. She was so nervous. I mean...
Yeah.
She said, "My legs. She goes, I could barely get up to the stage." So I mean, you know, you don't need people bothering them at that point. I mean, they're trying, and I appreciate that. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to get up there and try to entertain people.
Yeah,
it's not something I would ever do for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk some more about the No Jokes Bard shows at the R Bar. I normally offer up a request to the guest, but you declined. You weren't. You just said you'd listen to whatever. So let's play "Eye on the Gold Chain" by Ugly Duckling, and then we'll be back with more Glenn Jardine on St. John Forward Radio.
They got the eye on the gold chain. Taking off. Nice putting it on. There's not a pair of eyewear that can stop the glare of the Duke. Overexposed in photo shoots, he salutes the days of old with chains of gold. He looked around and found in the chains of soul.
Over to the airport.
He sets off metal detectors, inspectors. Pull him to the side and give him lectures. Going through his luggage. They try to test him, threaten to arrest him, asking lots of questions.
Like, why do you have a box of tissue?
To remove
what?
All the oily finger residue.
So look but don't touch, then let my chain shine.
Yo, put it on, Einstein.
They got the eye and the gold chain.
That's right.
They got the eye and the gold chain.
That's right.
Canada. Einstein's the man of the year. Get the trash out of here like a janitor. Chain so heavy when he step in the place, you can tap him on the shoulder and he fall on his face. Dropped a single fresh mold, they thought we were fold. 30 days later, Einstein had gold.
So what you saying?
My man scans the collectibles for the LP, chock full of delectables for the MP. He can reshape a V-brake, cut it in half, changing the speed rate and making some veins when it's on the turntable. He wore the dookie when we met Queen Elizabeth. Asked her, was she jealous? She said,
a little bit.
I guess the crown jewel never compares to the rope that the Einstein wears.
They got the eye and the gold chain.
That's right.
They got the eye and the gold chain.
That's right.
They got the eye and the gold chain.
That's right.
They got the eye and the gold chain.
That's the Einstein.
Rocking them truck jewels. Old man, I'm so hard to have.
97.3 FM, CFMH, the campus and community radio station in St. John and surrounding areas.
And we're back with Glenn Jardine on St. John Forward Radio. I want to talk a little bit more about the R-Bar. The burning question is probably not even that controversial of a thing. Where the name, the rumor, the R-Bar, the rumor is that it was just because it was Rookie's Bar and he just cut the sign in half and kept the R. Is that where the name came from?
No, and I've heard that. I've heard that many times. I've actually heard when we had the R's in the building left. What happened, I used to own a condo in Florida for many years, and local area there was a bar called the R Bar.
Okay.
So I just took the name from Florida. But that is a joke, and I've heard it, and I did use the letters, so it is true, I did use the old letters from Rookies, but...
Alright, well, no. The myth has been partially busted, so yes. did you own it when it was still Rookies, or did
no,
you...
No.
Okay.
It was shut down for 7 years, and I bought the building.
Okay, so it was just empty before you
reopened
it?
Empty for 7 years, and okay. I bought the building and put the bar in.
So now the R Bar is mostly, you have karaoke going pretty much all of the time, except for the 2 hours a month that I get?
Pretty well. It's still 7 nights a week. It's the only place in the city.
Yeah. Was that right out the gate?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Because I remember you used to have a little bit of live music, too.
Actually, I'm lying. We had karaoke, then we had a singer come in. Gordy Monroe was his name. One of the best singers I've ever heard, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
And he played Friday and Saturday night. I actually forgot about that. And he played for almost over a year, I think.
Yeah, I think I went the night that I had the idea of doing the comedy show there. I think I was there with a few people on a Saturday night, and Gordy was playing.
He was playing. Incredible talent. Incredible.
Yeah, it was a good show. There was only a handful of people in there. So honestly, when I was thinking of starting my own show, I thought, well, this is a small place, and I wasn't sure, but I thought that you were the owner, and I knew your son. And I think there was only like 4 or 5 people there on the Saturday when I went, so I figured you'd be happy with me if I brought in like 6. So.
Yeah, no, that's a... No, he had some... I don't know the night you're talking about. Obviously, I can't remember that, but... No, he had some really, really good crowds, but I think what happened there, like in the LC, he wears himself out too. I mean, we had maybe Friday, Saturday night. I was comfortable doing that. Hindsight, I should have brought in other acts and rotated them and... Hmm. But at that time, I was just building the place, and I have other interests. So I said, well, I took the path of least resistance, was keeping him in there.
Yeah.
But you're correct. It was, I don't know what point in that stage when he was playing. But no, we've had some very good nights with him. And then we had some, we had some slow nights. I mean, that's that's the business. I mean, but with the karaoke. And then after Gordy left, that's correct. After Gordy left, I filled those 2 nights with karaoke. My plan was to have 5 nights karaoke and 2 nights live music.
Yeah.
And then we tried a blues night, I think a Wednesday night or Thursday night. Tried it for 2.5-3 months. I usually stick with thing for quite a while to see if it gets legs, because a lot of times you start something, whether it's comedy, music, it doesn't make any difference what it is. You have to give it a certain time to mature, or at least...
Yeah.
Give it a chance to get going. Now, so many people in this business, in the bar business, entertainment business, they start something. 4 weeks out, they have made money. They pull a plug.
Yeah.
Prematurely, as far as I'm concerned. I stay in things for a long haul, and I'll absorb the loss, and the karaoke's been good. Like I said, ironically, the Saturdays you come, we have a karaoke 4 to 8, and it's full.
Yeah.
You come on at 9. I mean... And then usually Saturday night is busy. So we literally have a day and a month, every third Saturday, where we have 3 kicks at the cat in one day, really. Yeah. You're having the early, middle, and then late. Extremely unusual. I think it's unusual anywhere, really.
Yeah, I usually show up between like 7:30 and 8, and sometimes it's a packed house in there, and I'm always worried that it's not going to ever end. But it's gotten better over time. When I first started doing it, there'd always be like pushback from the person that's doing karaoke right before me. They never want to give it up. But
yeah, they're diehards. They don't want to stop.
Some of them don't understand that you need a buffer in between the karaoke and the comedy show. You can't just do karaoke right up until 8:59 and then start the comedy show at 9.
And I've explained that to them in a polite way. I've gone to them, as you know, many times and said, you know, this is a situation. We have to have a buffer. They get settled. I can tell you one night was I was there. It was comical in a way, a comic show. About 8:45, there was nobody there, and I said to the bartender, I said, holy smoke. And at 8:50, and about 15 minutes, the place filled up with people for the comedy show.
Yeah.
But at 8:50 one night, I was there, and I'm looking, there was, you were there, and your girlfriend, and a couple of people, and I called comics, obviously, and I go, holy smoke. I looked at the bartender, I said, this isn't looking good. She goes, oh, no, you wait, you'll see. And about 8:50, the place got filled up.
Yeah.
So apparently they come the last minute, obviously.
I usually advertise them as starting at 8:30, and then we usually actually start around 9 o'clock or so, just because nobody comes on time anywhere. And there's usually a lot of people that come in throughout the show, too. It usually builds up throughout the couple hours.
I think the last four shows have been standing room only. I think what happened, I can remember this very first night that the Comedy Club opened. There was some concern, I guess, because opening on Friday, and then Saturday night, the very first night, the weekend, our bar was standing room only.
Yeah.
The time you said, holy smoke, I thought there could be an impact negatively, meanwhile, it was standing room only, so...
Yeah, all that weekend, the Yuck Yucks, I think all three nights was sold out.
Correct.
And Shane was doing his show at Chuckles that same weekend.
I think he was
sold out too, and we had a packed house at the R Bar, so there's room for everybody.
Oh, I think it's going to feed off everybody. I think there's going to be people coming that are going to Yuck. There'll be people go to Yuck Yucks and then maybe come up to R Bar one Saturday night.
Yeah.
So it's a different level of entertainment, but you know, you had a guy here about the last show before from Callis. I guess he came from he drove from Callis, which impressed me.
Brian Giles,
extremely funny.
Yeah,
he was funny. And I guess so you're getting people from Sussex, Moncton, Fredericton. Every time I go, I always say, where's that person from? Oh, he's from Fredericton. He's from Moncton. He's from here and everywhere. So people are traveling to get a chance to express themselves and. I feel good about it. I mean, I never once I had a bad feeling about the show. Right from the get-go, I never once said to myself, well, even a couple of times you said things to me about a couple of customers, and I took it in consideration, looked after it. But no, I always felt, because you're talking to a fellow at Book Comics, I had comedy festivals, so you're talking to somebody that, like I said, I like comics, and you know, I like going to shows. I've seen a lot of comics. I will travel to see a comic. So I mean, you had when you came to see me, you're talking to a person that enjoys that type of entertainment.
Yeah,
and I said, let's try it. And
Well, and the show that we do at the R Bar is kind of a different beast than the Yuck Yucks. Anyway, I never thought it would have a huge impact one way or the other because it's two different things. Like coming to see what's essentially an open mic comedy show in a smaller bar is a different thing than seeing like professional headliners coming in and buying and spending big money on a ticket. It's not that one is better or worse. I think there's probably a lot of like kind of people that would go to Yuck Yucks that might not be comfortable coming to like the small down and dirty kind of open mic thing at the thing, but it's a whole different thing. And I guess I think I kind of like the audience that we get at the R Bar better because you don't really get an easy laugh there. The people that are there because they're comedy fans and they're a bit more picky with it, I guess. Cause I've done bigger shows with that kind of an audience, like the get dressed up and go out and for a nice date night out and spend $100. I've done shows for them and it's fun, but it doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't feel as like getting a big laugh at the R Bar always feels like it's more rewarding than getting one at that show because I find that those other shows, they're there kind of, they've spent the money, they're there for a good time, and they're going to laugh at anything that has
probably
the cadence of
no
a punchline.
No doubt.
But at the R Bar, if you have a line that's not funny, it'd just be tumbleweeds, and you kind of need that because the comics don't don't grow if they don't have that that bit of resistance. Like, if everybody laughs at everything that you say, you never know what to cut or what needs work.
Well, I think it's been I think it's a perfect spot for people just listen. They're trying it out. They're coming up. If they if they're funny, they're funny. Like you said, they can work on their lines. They can. I've been there many nights when people flub their lines, and then yeah. and then they go, oh, and they just back up, and people appreciate that. I mean,
yeah, they understand what it is, and sometimes it's entertaining to see somebody completely. Well, sometimes it's funnier too.
Sometimes it's funnier. I mean. One night, what the guy wasn't saying was funny than his lines. And at the end of it, he come up and get a bottle of water, and he goes, "Jesus!" He goes, "I died," but he goes, "I'm trying." And I said, "You know what? That's all you can do." And he said, "I'm coming back." I said, "If Jonathan," he said, "Jonathan will have me." I said, "Of course, I'm sure he will." I said,
"Yeah,"
but I chuckled and I go, "He said I died." I said, "Well, it wasn't." I said, "You were actually people were laughing in the wrong spots." Is a problem. And I said, you know what? You got up there. You did 15 minutes. I said, that's hard to do. I wouldn't do it at all. So, I mean, it's to be commended. And then some of your people come up with have the jokes written on paper. And and you can tell they're extremely nervous. I mean, they're getting up there. One came one night there, and her first night, first time ever. And she was quite funny. I mean, now, she said she'd never been up in front of people before. She must have practiced somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe in her house for hours. I don't know, but
she
did a good job. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, and that's the difference between doing comedy and music. Like, you can at home, you can practice a song 100,000 times and get it down perfect.
Yes, but absolutely.
Our kind of garage practice is at the R Bar in front of people.
That's right.
So you have to work it out there.
It's ruthless.
Yeah, I do practice some like at home by myself in my basement, but that's just more for memorizing it. You don't really get a feel for it until you're doing it in front of people and just have to gauge that reaction and when they laugh and when they don't and all that stuff. It's a whole different thing than practicing at home.
But you never had, I don't think you've ever had a problem filling the stage with the comics ever, have you? I don't think.
No. There's been a handful of times where if we have a snowstorm or something
like that,
like, I mean, a group of people can't make it down from Fredericton. But
in general, you have a full roster. You have 6 or 7 people.
Yeah, and I'll just hog the mic myself if I have to, if I can fill it out, and I'll just do more. But yeah, I'm surprised that you told me that the place was shut down for 7 years before you opened it.
7 years.
When did you open it as the R Bar?
I've been open 5 years now, so okay. 2012, I guess.
Because I find that surprising, because some of the people that are regulars at the bar, that a lot of them are horrified every time the comedy show breaks out around them, because that's like their place. It feels like they've been coming there every night for the past 30 years or something.
Well, they have been. I mean, the crowd at the R Bar is electric. It's a different crowd. I mean, you're getting in the R Bar, let's call a spade a spade. You know, you go there, you get every walk of life goes in there, and there's people going in there when it's rookies. It was Loyalist Pub. It was Bosom's Chair, 35-40. That place has been in business 60-70 years in that location.
Yeah.
You know, I have people coming in there, they're 55, they had their first beer there, you know, so, you know, it's a different thing.
Some of them are kind of stubborn. They're like, I hate this, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows that I hate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is my bar, so I'm coming anyway.
Yeah, they, you know, people are quirky. They, they come in, some are regulars, obviously, they come in every day. You know, they get set in their ways, and they want the karaoke at 8 o'clock, and then they go home, they go somewhere else. I mean, I always say to them, like I said before, you're a customer, you control where you go. It's your money in your pocket. You can go any other place around there, spend your money. I prefer to spend it in my place, obviously.
Yeah.
But I have to be, you know, when you came to me, I said, we'll give it a shot, and we've been doing it for 3 years. Every time you've had something, you come to me and said, this is, I'm not happy with this or this and that, I say, let's rectify the situation.
Yeah.
So you have to, you can't please everybody. So when you wanted that buffer for half an hour, you got the buffer. That was the end of it. There was no, I went to people, I said, this is what we're going to do. It's not an option.
Right.
You know, you just can't. I mean, but people want to keep singing. They don't understand that. They think you can just, well, what's the problem? He starts at 9 o'clock, get the mic and start telling people. Well, this isn't karaoke. It's a whole different mindset. I mean, you're having a change of most of the new customers.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have people that stay from before. And so I always said, I always try to be fair with everybody. You have to be, actually. But I mean, I just said, listen, from this time, 8:39 is, as far as I'm concerned, Jonathan's time's at 8:30, as you know that. I mean, yeah. As you're clear, you know, you're there. I mean,
And even without the buffer, I don't want some, if I advertise it as 8:30 and people walk correct. In and there's karaoke correct. Going
that's
on,
not
it's
good.
Just confusing.
No, it's confusing everybody. So, no, at 8:30, that's when we cut off. And, you know, I could push back, obviously.
Yeah.
No, you know, they didn't come to me. When I went to see these people and said, we have to cut this off then, they didn't say, okay, Glenn, no problem. It wasn't that at all. I mean, they said, oh, what do you need to play music for? I said, well, it's not a question of playing music. He says come at 8:30 and we start the show around 9. I said, that's my commitment to Jonathan. And I said, I'm going to live up to that commitment. And that's the end of the story. It wasn't room for discussion. I said, let's do it this way.
Yeah,
and you have to understand, there's people sitting there 4 hours drinking beer that want to keep singing. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, and to cut them off. I mean, you say, okay, we got to start to do this.
Yeah, well, and that's why the buffer needs to happen. Because if all of a sudden then they're still confused for the first half hour of the show, why nobody's singing? And
no, you can't do that.
And I do put on music. I usually try to pick something annoying that would scare off those people. That
heavy
would be,
metals. That's what they. Yeah. That was the other. He puts on heavy metal. Why does he put on heavy metal? I mean, I said, what does he put on? Well, put on something different. I said, well, it's his time is 8:30.
My philosophy on that is if they can't stand annoying music for a half hour, they're going to really hate the comedy show. So if that doesn't scare them off, then we'll finish the rest of the job at 9.
No. But I mean, that's been actually pretty well straightened out now. That was a problem for a couple of shows.
Yeah. Well, and the people that are coming specifically for the show have way more outnumbered the people that are just there because they were there
absolutely,
which was more of an issue in the early goings. But
oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I appreciate that, but I said, as you talked to me about it, I said, I resolve that stuff. I mean, that's not a, you know, I appreciate. Like I said, I rather listen to comics. Okay, so that's my. You talked to the right person when you came to me. I mean, something I like and I enjoy it, and I've done it in the past. I mean, I booked these people. So, no, I'm extremely pleased with it. I never had, ever said to myself, that was a bad, you know, bad deal or a bad thing to do. Not once. And, you know, some nights are funnier than other nights. That's just the way it is. I mean, you can't, the whole premise of it was for people to get their feet wet and have a place to go to.
Yeah.
And do try their material. And people that... the last time you had a person there, never got up before. So, I mean, you're getting people that are newbies, I guess, or just starting out or trying it. Trying it, I guess, a better word. So where would you go? Actually, you're not going, I mean, let's be realistic, you're not going down Yak Yak to open up or do anything like that now.
No, you got to work up to that.
Okay, so you really don't have, when you look around, there's no place in St. John. Maybe, I don't know what, I guess you're talking about Shane there, Chuck, he's bringing people and established people in.
Yeah, and there's local openers, but it's still not first time.
When you say local openers, you're talking people, some...
Yeah, like me.
Okay, you're not getting... He's not... and I don't know what he's doing, but I can only assume. Some guy won't come up to him and go, I've never been in front of an audience before. I have some jokes, I think I'm funny. Can I come to an opening? That doesn't work there, I don't think.
Usually sends those people my way.
That's right. So, yeah. I mean, and I think to me, that's... you know, the proof's in the pudding. You're getting good crowds there. I mean, that's if you weren't successful, there'd be nobody there. I'll tell you who would be there, the 6 comics.
Yeah.
That's who would be there. So all in all, I think myself personally, I mean, I've booked comics. I've booked professional comics. I've booked them through Yuck Yucks for, you know. So when I hear these people, I understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And they're trying. I mean... don't throw someone in the bus because the first night they tried, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Like I said, one night the guy was, I felt sorry for him in a way, but I mean, he was, the stuff, his jokes weren't funny. He was getting funny laughs anyway because he was so nervous, right? He was compensating for that. But I mean, I think, you know, if they had a place in Moncton doing it, Fredericton doing it, not a lot of places want to do it anyway, I don't think, to be honest with you. It's not something that you would, for me, you can't, you know, I said, and I think, honestly, when you came to me, because of your connection with my son, I listened, I said, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm not even too sure, to be honest with you, if you went to school with my son for quite a few years, I don't know if I would even, well, I probably would say yes anyway, but I mean, definitely when you came in.
Yeah, well, I figured that was a foot in the door.
Well, it was a foot, and I, you know, like, I'm going to support Jonathan, I support anybody, you know, that he knows, so, I mean, and it was good for me. It's been good for me. It's been positive. It's been a plus.
Yeah.
No
and
way.
I talk to the comedians more than, I guess, the audience, but the R-Bar is a lot of comedians' favorite place to perform just because it's got a certain vibe to it. It's a little bit more chaotic than some other places, which some people aren't into that, but a lot of people my wife doesn't come anymore because she's a very anxious person and she just thinks I'm going to get punched in the face at some point every show. But like she was explaining to one of my friends all the reasons why like the R-Bar kind of triggers her anxiety, and she's a year sober actually tomorrow. And all of the stuff that she was listing off, like, these are the reasons I don't want to go to the R-Bar. Those are all, like, my favorite parts and why I want to go there.
I think your girlfriend's a great person, actually, so.
Yeah, she might come back out at some point, but in the moment, she's cut out the R-Bar comedy show. She just gets lots of drinking lots of wine flashbacks. It's not a good scene. But it's... I think it's an interesting show to see because people don't see the kinds of things and just the different people that I put up that wouldn't be getting stage time anywhere else and to do something weird.
Or
if there is somebody, despite their better judgment, stuck around for the comedy show that is not having their good time. Sometimes it's annoying and it just derails the show, but sometimes there's a bit of a back and forth and, I try not to be too mean to the people, at least right out the gate, because I usually just try to remind them that what you're doing right now is making the show worse for everybody else, and then if that...
Well, I'll tell you, I find this funny. Well, maybe not, I don't know how funny it is. But one night, months ago now, one of your comics pushed one of the customers down on the floor because he was heckling him, or not heckling, was making a noise. So I went in last show, and he was actually being a comic now. Do you realize that?
Rudy?
Yeah.
The guy with the long hair?
Yes.
Yeah, I had him in here a few weeks ago. We unpacked all that baggage.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you remember that then? Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was...
And here he was on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, yeah, Rudy and I had a thing. He got offended by a joke that somebody did earlier in the show, and he was yelling stuff out, and then people were asking him to leave.
It was because But then I come in last show you did, and he's up there doing comedy. I went, well, there's a turnabout. Oh, so you already had this conversation. I didn't know if you remembered it.
Remember it all. I complain a lot about these other comedy people in the city that get all high and mighty on themselves and use their comedy shows as like a personal vendetta machine and blacklist people. I try to do the opposite of the things that bothers me about everybody else that's doing comedy in St. John. So I figure if I'm going to be complaining about this show or that show that I'm not allowed to do, then I probably shouldn't be doing the same thing to somebody else, even if we had a bit of an issue.
Oh, no. Well, obviously it was over. He's doing comedy on the show. I mean, I was like... When I walked in, he was doing it. I said to myself, "Well, there's an about face. There's Jonathan." And then I got thinking, and I didn't know he was on the radio show. Obviously, I wouldn't even brought it up.
Yeah,
I said, "Geez, awesome. I think Jonathan probably forgot who he is." That's what I was thinking.
No, I don't forget.
No, I thought you did though, and I go, I wonder if Jonathan knows who it is now. But anyway,
I think he comes to the R-Bar regularly, even when there isn't a comedy show on.
He's a good customer.
And we had a bit of an argument on that night, and we had another argument on the internet months later, and I just kind of stopped answering him when he was sending me messages. And then I saw him come out to a few shows at the R-Bar and behaved himself, and I felt like a jerk, so I decided to reach out and offer him a spot back. So
I didn't even know he did comedy until last Saturday night. So there you go.
Yeah,
so.
he's in a punk band. I think the Kill Devils. I think that's mainly what he does. He's done comedy a handful of times, and
I didn't realize that. Honestly, I just know that night the incident happened, and I went in I think two Saturdays ago now, and he was there doing comedy. Yeah. Then I got thinking automatically. I said, Jonathan doesn't remember who he is. I figured you didn't. Now you tell me he's been on the show and everything, so you hash it all out, so I guess it's all done. That topic is...
it's ongoing. We'll see.
Yeah.
Just say the wrong thing to him. Yeah. But, I don't know. People like doing the show, and just even when it's going badly, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and that's what people talk about after the show the next day. They say they went to the R Bar and saw a comedy show, and a stray cat walked in, and the comedian picked it up and was holding it on stage when he was doing it, or this crazy drunk person was yelling stuff out, and the comedian said this or that to them, or there was the one night, I don't know if you were there or not, when the ambulance showed up because the woman had passed out
in the bathroom
in the middle of the comedy show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, stuff like that isn't happening at Yuck Yucks.
No, we have. So. There's been a few things that. Well, it's a venue that, like I said, you're an uptown venue, and we get everybody in there.
Yeah,
you know, you can name somebody, and we've had them in there. So, when you get drinking involved in anywhere, it doesn't matter where you're at. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be an ass or whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
and some of those people are not. They don't even know there's even a comedy. Some they're not even telling jokes. Some of them.
Yeah,
or they want to help you tell the jokes.
Yeah, that's what some people think, that like being a heckler is just yelling out like you suck. But when they think that they're improving on the show and they think that they're being funny too, that's just as annoying.
No, and I think people got to realize that. But most do. I mean, we've had, like I said, we have a couple of situations that, you know, I step in now. I mean, it's not even an issue now. I just say, listen.
Yeah, no, if there's somebody that I'm worried about before the show, I usually send you a text or give you a call.
That's right, and I usually kick them out.
Yep.
You have to go.
Yeah.
And they understand that. I said, you know, you're too loud, you're ignoring, you do this and that. I said, you know, it's not karaoke, it's these people. And most people.
You usually buy them a drink and bring them over to the Peel Pub.
And that's what I've done that, yes. That's a fallback.
Yeah.
That's like.
You don't want to give away drinks by default.
No, but if I'm desperate, that's what we got to do. We got to leave there. I usually, between you and me, I end up going myself. I say, it's easy for me to remove them there that way and then get over there, and then. You know, at that point, they go somewhere else or go home. I mean, they're not there anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to bring them somewhere than to throw them out.
Well, it is. When people are loud, they tend to be that way, the same people, basically, they won't be quiet. You ask them, you know what, they tell you, can you keep it down? They're trying to do shows. They're brand new. They're amateurs. Mm. They're nervous. Some are very nervous. You know that yourself. Geez, they're shaking up there.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, I'm good. And 2 seconds later, they're loud again.
Yeah, that's happened where they just can't control themselves. They're drunk.
But I've been in comedy clubs where they've had people in, you know, hecklers are just annoying, okay?
Yeah.
And they've had to ask people to leave in those places. It's not all, and I'm sure that in St. John will happen in their club, believe me. There'll be somebody there they're going to have to ask to leave or.
Yeah.
Because when people get loud and they get obnoxious, whatever you want to call it, they'll say they're going to quiet. Listen, I've been doing this for 30 years in the bar business. 30 years. Yeah. They'll tell you right up front, okay, I'll sit right down. I've happened at the R Bar with you guys.
Yeah.
I won't say another word, Glenn. I swear to God, I'm going to sit right here. I won't say another word. Okay, now. I'll let you say, okay. And 3 minutes later, they're yelling again.
Yep.
Right? All right.
Well, I got to cut you off. We're coming to the end of the show. So we've got a show coming up at the R Bar this Saturday, May 20th. We've got a few new faces on there, or even the people that have been there before. It's been at least a few months, so you've got that to look forward to. And then No Jokes Bar Deluxe is going to be at O'Leary's on June 2nd. Brian Giles from Callus that you were talking about, he's going to be headlining that one. And we've got Sam Laidman and Molly B and myself. And then the No Jokes Barred 3-year anniversary show will also be next month on the 17th, and there'll be a bonus show on the 10th with Ken Bolton's new comedy students. So check that out. And this has been St. John Forward Radio. We'll be back next Monday, 9 to 10. Thank you, Glenn Jardine, for coming in.
You can just say thanks very much, John.
Right, no problem.
Okay. How'd we do?